I'm Tom Kerwin, and these are the best bits of this week's Wednesday Night Live on Radio Yorkshire. Yeah, good evening. This is Wednesday Night Live here on Radio Yorkshire. Here until 9 o'clock tonight for your midweek fix of football chat. The big issues of the week discussed as we look ahead to what's to come over a packed weekend of football on the horizon. So much to get through tonight, and as always, we want to hear from you. You can join the debate. You can pose your questions for the panel in the studio. Get in touch with us via Twitter. It's at @Radio_Yorkshire. You can tweet myself too, @TomKerwin. This evening, we'll be looking back on yet another win for Leeds United and ask what the rest of the season will hold for Neil Redfern's team now that survival in the Championship is looking increasingly likely. What about the youngsters in the team too? Four academy graduates, the key to the team's recent run. Just how important is it the club keep hold of them to build for the future? Also, it's a trip to high-flying Middlesbrough at the weekend. The Teessiders have got their act together thanks to a Spanish invasion at the Riverside. Can Leeds get a result? And is this the perfect test for the Whites at the perfect time? Also, we'll be discussing when a dive isn't a dive. It's one of the biggest talking points of the season following the penalty awarded to Wayne Rooney at Preston on Monday. A definite penalty or a definite cheat, let us know. We'll also be looking into football finances too for Championship clubs. That's following the Premier League TV deal that was announced last week. We'll be speaking to an expert in the field later on that. All of that, and I'm sure many of you have seen the shocking video and images from last night in Paris. Chelsea supporters singing racist songs on the city's metro system and refusing to allow a black man to board the train. The club have released a statement today on that matter, but is this just an isolated instance or still a big problem in football? What's an appropriate punishment for these people who have not only let their club down, but of course the country too? Get in touch with us, tweet us @Radio_Yorkshire. Time to introduce our panel tonight. Two of our three guests, well, I want questions for two out of three of them. And for Eddie Gray, I want questions that he can answer. And for Mr. Stats over here, I want questions that he can't. We do this every week whenever you're in the studio, yes. Andrew. See if anybody can pose a question, a Leeds United related question,
of course. Yep.
That you can't answer. I think people have been chickening out of this.
Yes, so do I.
Earlier on this season, yes. So they've got their opportunity tonight. So see if you can outfox the man who knows everything about Leeds United and a man who is Mr. Leeds United, Eddie Gray. How are we?
Not bad, Tom. Thank you.
Well, it's all smiles in the studio, isn't it? We were all here about a month ago, and we were thinking, "Well, what's happening?"
Doom and gloom. Especially the man at my left.
Yes, that's right. Keith's with us.
He's happy now.
Yeah. Big smiles, Keith. What a difference 5 games makes, eh?
Football's a funny game, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It's a funny game. It's an enjoyable game when you're winning matches, that is for sure.
So
let us know your predictions then for the weekend against Middlesbrough. Tough game in prospect for Leeds United, but of course they've had a tough week themselves as Aitor Karanka's side. They're in action tonight too in the Championship. Then that Saturday lunchtime game here on Wednesday Night Live. So we'll be getting a lot into Leeds United a little bit later on, so you can keep your tweets coming in to us. Already had a few predictions for Saturday sent in our way. But there was a story this week, just to kick things off, another question I want answering. I'm bombarding people with questions at the start of the show tonight. But the Preston left-back, Scott Laird, who scored the goal, the opening goal of the game in that FA Cup game on Monday night. A bit of a tradition, because all his whole family have played football, a bit football mad. So his granny gave him £1 after the game for scoring a goal, and she's done that ever since he started playing football. So I wanted to know sort of your footballing traditions, whatever it might be. Not necessarily good luck, but anything that's sort of a tradition and you associate it with, not necessarily football either, just a sporting event. So let us know tonight. You can tweet us @Radio_Yorkshire. I'll kick this off in the studio. Keith, we'll start with you because you've revealed this before.
Yep.
And I don't know whether it is good luck or bad, it's mixed fortunes for you, but just tell us through your pre-match ritual at Elland Road.
Whenever I get to Elland Road, I always... my son, Ryan, if he's listening now, he'll be having laughing now. He calls me Statue Botherer because I always go up to Billy... And I pie him on his knee, Billy, the Billy Bremner statue, and I say, "Billy Brem, Billy, give us some luck today." And I've done it, well, for as long as I can. Mm. It goes back to Champion League days.
Yeah.
So I've done it forever. And I'll always keep my same shirt if I've won. And I'll wear it and wear it until they lose.
So have you not taken that shirt off for quite a while? I know that's for Brentford. Yeah, how long's that shirt been on then for?
I wore it today when I went to swimming pass.
Wednesday Night Live. On Radio Yorkshire.
We're going to start looking ahead to Leeds United's next game at Borough, reviewing that victory at the weekend over Millwall, discussing some of the big talking points around Elland Road 2. So let us know your thoughts. I've had a few predictions have already been sent in and tweeted in. I'll read a few of those out, and let's see if you can challenge Mr. Dalton in the studio, Andrew, to a question that he cannot answer. Ben did try his luck on Twitter earlier on, but failed. You were very successful with Andrew. It was brilliant. Boris, the Irish White, says, great show, Tom. He says he thinks the year that the music we are playing, we had Thin Lizzy and the Eagles beforehand, he thinks the year is 1976. He also says, Eddie, you should still be coaching in some capacity at Leeds. He also says, Tom, when was Eddie's last game for Leeds? Against what team? He says he saw Eddie come on versus Charlton when we lost 2-1 and he was class MOT. Now, I don't know who to ask first, actually.
Ooh.
Andrew,
yeah.
Do you know?
Last game, May 1984, Charlton Athletic at home.
Yeah, but we won.
Yeah, we won.
There we go. There you go, Boris. That was a combination. That was a joint effort. That was a team effort to get that answer right. Yeah. But well done, Andrew, anyway, for knowing. I found your bell. So I better play this out. There we go. And there's also an air horn here as well. That's a bit too loud. The air horn. It's going to deafen us every time Andrew gets a question right, which will probably be quite often.
Also
your favourite sporting traditions as well. Tweet us at @radio_Yorkshire. But we mentioned at the top of the show, smiles on Leeds United fans' faces at the moment. Eddie, 4 wins from 5.
Yep.
It's a complete turnaround in 2015 from what we'd witnessed over Christmas and for big chunks of the season. Only a couple of goals conceded in that run, beating Bournemouth, some away wins, an away win on a Tuesday night, beat Millwall.
Yes.
I don't know if we're in a parallel universe or what, I don't know. But what do you put the down? What are the reasons really for the turnaround in form, Eddie, from what you've seen? You watch Leeds all season.
Well, you get a result, Tom, and obviously confidence starts to come back to the players. They're working hard as a unit. They're making it difficult for sides. I think that, you know, the balance of the side has been good.
Yeah.
And even, you know, when we went to Huddersfield, you know, and like, you know, like, we actually play a system just now that I think suits us.
I agree.
You know, yeah. It suits us. Mm. You know, I think it's, I think with the one man up front and the 5 players in midfield, we make it very difficult, you know, for teams, you know, to get at us, you know, and I think that's a good thing. You still got a little bit of width. Sam Byron gives you width in the right-hand side. Alex Mowat, although I don't think he's a natural left-sided player, you know, I think he'll be a central midfield player.
Yeah.
He's still a left-sided player, you know, and he knows how to work the flank, you know. He's no get the same pace as Sam Byron or Lewis Cook. But he's still a good footballer and he's a good knowledge how to play in that position. So I think the way we're playing the game now, we make it difficult for sides. Mm-hmm. I mean, you get back to the Reading game. I mean, I was talking to Steve Clark after the game. Steve says to me, Eddie, after 15 minutes, I'm thinking to myself, this game's going to be nothing each and I'm going to settle for it.
Yeah.
And really, if it wasn't for the goalkeeper's blunder,
yes,
it would have been nothing each.
Yeah, yeah,
you know, because there was nothing in the game.
Yeah.
There was hardly a shot to go.
Yeah.
But we're difficult to beat now.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's the thing. Against Millwall's a little bit different. We're playing against a side, you know, like you'd expect to win the game.
Mm.
First half, I thought we passed the ball around well. I still don't think we created enough chances in the early part of the game.
Yeah.
Created a few chances near the end of the game when Steve Morrison, who I think needs a goal, but I think he's leading the line well. And the reason we made a few chances near the end of the game, because they're throwing bodies forward trying to get back in the game. So there's still things to work on, but that little bit of confidence that victories bring and that the fans have got a bit of belief, and that helps the players. When the fans start to get belief again, that helps the players.
Yeah.
That's a big help to the players.
Yeah.
You know, the crunch time comes, you know, when they start to play better sides, you know, because the expectation level will still be there for Leeds fans now.
It'll always be there.
We'll probably see, Tom, the night, when we're looking for predictions for the weekend, you know, how the expectation level's risen. And you could see that a bit on Saturday, that although we dominated the game for periods, in the second half, a lot of the players disappeared out of the game and let them back into it. You know, you can sense the crowd were getting a bit apprehensive. Towards the end of the game, we started to get it back a bit and hitting them on the break. Antonucci and Morrison had a couple of chances. Then everybody's home happy because you win the game.
Yeah.
I think that's the thing. Just winning matches, Tom.
Yeah, and there's a lot of factors as well in terms of the personnel. We, you know, we've talked on this show the last couple of weeks about Luke Murphy's sort of revival, Steve Morrison as well. He's winning friends and influencing people, although not scoring yet. Saw Bamba's arrival, Belushi coming back and doing well, the lack of goals that have been scored, and of course the academy players, which we'll come on to. But I don't know about you, Sard. What would you sort of put the reasons down to? Neil Redfern as well? Yeah, do you get a lot of credit for it?
I think it's just the change of formation as well. I think it's been well publicised. We had the diamond over Christmas and before Christmas, and it seems to have disappeared. I think having Sam Byram in a more forward position has changed things. And I certainly think Charlie Taylor's taken it to like duck to water.
Really well.
And it all helps. And all, as Eddie says, it breeds confidence. And if you're winning football match at the end of the day, everyone will go home happy.
Second half at Sunderland, something.
Yeah, that's a bit quick. Yeah.
Something clicked, didn't it?
We were talking before game. Confidence is key.
Of course,
it is. You know, that's it. You know,
I think confidence is a great thing. You know, like it's, you know, we were talking about a team earlier. I mean, Sunderland, but you know, they're no great shakes.
No.
You know, we've seen that against Bradford City.
Yeah.
I mean, you look at Bradford City; they go to Chelsea, and the confidence getting into Sunderland, we'll beat Sunderland.
Yeah.
Now, when they play Reading, it's a different ball game for them.
Because
all their fans will be expecting them to win.
Well, Eddie, they could, by the book, is they could make them favourites, could they not?
I think they will be favourites.
It's probably going to be about 15 places.
I think they will be favourites. So that's when your players are going to step up to the mark. And, you know, like, there is confidence running through the team, but because at the weekend we never kept on top of Millwall, I thought we should have done, then we started to give the ball away terribly in the second half, just like them. And it's that expectation level, oh, we're going to hold on, instead of having that confidence that a second goal brings,
or
a third goal.
Yeah.
You know, we've still not done that to teams yet.
No.
You know?
No.
And that's the one thing that we've got to do then. It's a bit like saying Steve Morrison. Steve's playing well now, but if we wouldn't have got the goals at Reading, and beat Millwall, people have been saying, oh, Steve Morrison's not scored.
Yeah.
But forget about that, because you're winning matches, and that's what I say. The only thing in football that counts is getting results, and then everybody's happy. The
thing is, if you look at probably, I can't see what Neil Redfern puts on his team sheets, but two of first players he must have put down on form must be Murphy and Morrison. Mm. And they were forgotten men. When we were sat last time in here, don't even mention. But they've come in. I think Murphy's come. He's a good midfield player. I think he's been playing in a position what he's good at. And I think Morrison, he will always have that love-hate relationship with fans because of past ones. I wish him well.
Yeah.
You know, I'd love him to get two or three goals, because I think if he did get a couple of goals, his confidence, he might could take it up to level. You know, but it's... You know, we're playing well. We're playing well as a unit. We've, like Andrew said, we've changed the formation. We look settled. We look relaxed. And we've got a really good centre back now. I think
somebody must have either had the word with Luke Murphy or Luke Murphy's had the word with himself.
Yeah,
I think that's
because, you know, I remember saying to the boy last year, if you're going to do it, you've got to get.
Yeah.
Take the game by the scruff of the neck. You've got to have the confidence to do it.
Yeah.
And he has done recently. Now, I think he's either done it thinking, well, if I don't do it, I'm not going to be here.
Yeah.
Or I'm not going to be a player in the long run. Because it doesn't matter how much talent you've got.
Absolutely.
You've got to go and use it. And he's starting to use it now. And I think that's a great thing.
Yeah.
I think Neil must have had the word with him.
Put his arm around him and said, look, you know, you can do this. And his Redfern said he's in a better place than he was.
Yeah.
You know, when he got sent off against Bradford, you never heard from him. Mm. And he's come back. I've been impressed with his attitude.
Yeah.
That's what's good.
I always wonder whether, because I don't know whether he was definitely made available for loan, but the expectation was he was going to go out on loan. I wonder if the clubs that came in for him might have given him a push as well.
Yeah,
right. I think sometimes that's a bit of an eye-opener.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, where else am I going to go? Well, am I going to get a better chance than here? And no, but there wasn't really players in the team that were grabbing it by the scruff of the neck and saying, well, you're not getting in, Luke, even if you come back in there and do the business, which he is doing. Talk about the defence there, Keith. Has Bamba really impressed you since he's come in? I mean, two goals conceded in five games is not bad, is it?
I know people still a little bit frightened because he sometimes trots in the midfield, but he is what's known as a commanding centre-back. He talks to him. You can see him you can see him through a game. He'll be talking to his defenders. We haven't had it. Can you remember anybody who's talked in defence for years? I can't.
Well, the last time I remember it was Naylor coming into the team.
Lee's
looked a lost defence today before
he
came back in,
He looks good, and I think he looked very good when he first came in alongside Coops.
Mm.
I think Cooper eventually will come back in his side because Redfern likes a right footer on right side, left footer on left side. And that's how he said it in a lot of interviews. But if Belushi's playing well, I know you've got a couple of doubts about him because he's got a mistake in him.
Well, I think Cooper's a better player.
Yeah.
I'd agree with you.
At that age, when he's been coming at side as a new player and to make captain, you've got to be a good player.
Yeah. We've always talked about Leeds looking like they're conceding goals, Eddie. So to get three clean sheets in five, and you were just saying, Andrew, I'm not tempting fate for this Saturday, but if Leeds keep another clean sheet,
yes.
Remind us of the stat you were telling us.
The last time we've kept three clean sheets in a row in the league, you go back to November 2009. So that's how long it's been.
That deserves a... Yeah.
That definitely deserves a bell. Maybe an air horn. That's remarkable, isn't it, that, Eddie?
Yeah, I think yeah, it's good.
2009?
Yeah.
That's amazing, isn't it?
You know, I just throw a bit of spanner on the works here.
Oh, no. Right.
In the last couple of games, the one thing we've not done, we've done it against Brentford, though. We never played against them with real genuine pace up front.
Yeah. And they've got it in abundance.
Yeah.
Real genuine pace.
I agree with that.
And they had it.
Yeah.
And he caused a few problems.
Yeah.
So, you've got to play against real pace to see how it works. Yeah. And that's been our Achilles heel in recent years for conceding goals.
Yes.
It's clean sheet against Bournemouth, though.
Yeah.
They had some pace.
Yeah.
I don't know how.
We did because, Tom, we watched the highlights of that in the LUTV and it was like the Alamo.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah. You chances they missed that day.
That's right.
You know, and the penalty kick as well.
I think Adorno of Borough is... Very directly, and I think
I agree with you. I think the defenders have done well, and what you say about Belushi, I think it's the best game I've seen him play at Reading.
Yeah, without a doubt.
The two of them look solid and commanding, the weekend against Millwall, and I think you're right what you say. I think you look at Bamba and you think, he's a commanding presence,
Yeah, absolutely.
So you just hope it continues.
He's got great sort of way about him, Sol Bamba. He's got a great, he's
very
got a great
calm,
nature.
Yeah.
He's
he
is calm. He's
I could see him add quite a lot to dressing room, like a calming influence.
Yes.
I really can. I just comes across in his interviews I've seen. He just sort of like something about him. He looks a good player.
And Leeds haven't really. I'm trying to think. Leeds have a real presence at the back as well. I'm talking 6 foot four, 6 foot five. He's a giant centre half. Mm-hmm. I can't really remember anyone who's it. Because Belushi's hardly the.
The
thing is, Lucas was never that big, but he was a presence. Lucas was a presence. I think he led by example, even though he was the biggest man. He played through the heart.
Yeah.
And that makes a difference.
I've got to stop calling him Samba as well. I think I've done that a couple of times back. So I've merged his first name and his last name.
He's another player, Chris Samba.
One of Harry's favourites, him, was he? Alex Moyer got the goal at the weekend, by the way. He's a player we haven't really spoke about too much because he had that little run earlier on this season.
Yep.
He picked up a monthly award, hadn't he, for his performances, and he'd got four goals. But since then, he's been a bit quiet. He's found chances a little bit more difficult to come. He's probably been overshadowed by the likes of Cook and Taylor and Byram in recent weeks. I know his free kick took a big deflection, Eddie, but he is the one player who's playing slightly out of position, isn't he? But I don't know what your assessment of his second season is.
I think he had a little dip. Just a little dip. I thought he played well at the weekend, and hopefully that's him back. He's been asked to play that left-sided position, and I still think, even if he's not playing that well, I still think he makes us a little bit more solid.
Yeah.
I know people were saying about Billy Sharp playing there or Morrison, but they don't give you that same defensive cover.
No.
You know, it's easier for people to get at fullbacks.
Yeah.
If you go back, to the Huddersfield game, I think Charlie Taylor's done well.
Yeah.
But the biggest problem for Zach Day was the right winger.
Yeah.
Scannell. When he was getting balls and running at his. So just to have that protection for all fullbacks as well, even on the other side, Sam Byron's there. And he does his job, but he can still get forward. And Alex Moore's the same. So I think that for him playing in that position, long term, I don't think that'll be his final position. Yeah. I think he'll play as a central midfield player. And I think if Neil had, somebody could play left side, basically like a left-sided midfield player, like a winger, then Alex would be back in the centre of the park.
Absolutely.
Who would he replace him?
Well, I'm not talking about the present time. You know, like, yeah. I think he'll end up playing there anyway. Whoever it's for.
A ball winning midfielder.
Well, all midfield players really should be ball winners. Or could be ball winners, you know. Mm. You know.
Good blend though in that
league. It's a good blend,
sort of midfield players. Yeah. I want to talk about the academy players because I think people have seen the sort of photo from the game. Mowat's celebration, and he's quickly, you know, he's been chased after, isn't he, by Taylor, Byram and Cook. It's been, I've always said, it's, you know, since Leeds have dropped out of the Premier League, and it's obviously been a long time, but I'm just saying in these sort of wilderness years, as I might describe them, a couple of constants, the fans, but also the academy. I mean, year after year, there have still been players produced. Mm-hmm. It's a massive credit, not only to Neil Redfern for the last 6 years, but all the staff that have been there throughout that time. And I mean, look, Eddie, you know, you had some fantastic youngsters when you were manager at Leeds. You coached some amazing players during the sort of Champions League run and the years before that. It's so important, isn't it? And I just, why do you think the Leeds United continually, even with different staff there from when you were there, manager and coach, why do Leeds keep producing players in the team?
Well, you know, you've got a lot of things you look at, Tom. You look at the scouting system, you look at coaching, you look at how the players are brought up. You look
good
at
catchment area,
but you know, you throw the net far and wide as well, and you look at the principles, you know, playing football, you know, like these young players, the one thing I've got to learn right away, I've got to work hard to be a player. Doesn't make a difference how much ability you've got, you've got to work. I mean, the best player in the world, has he scored the goal there? Nobody works harder than him. Cristiano Ronaldo, you know, he keeps himself physically right, you know, and that old adage, if you can't run, you can't play, that'll never get away. So you've got to keep yourself fit, you've got to listen to people. I think that's how the boys have been brought up through the academy since Howard Wilkinson basically started it. You know, that was the philosophy, you know, but the whole idea is to produce players, and the club have done that over the years. I mean, there's been a lot of players come through that academy.
I mean, I haven't sort of looked at the stats or anything, but and I know a lot of Championship clubs have young players coming through, but to have four in your team,
I think that's great credit in Neil and his staff, and it'll probably make Neil feel more comfortable in his job, you know, because he knows all the players, he knows the capabilities, he's put them in the side, and no one of them has let them down or let themselves down or let the football club down. You know,
does it? It works for the players as well. They'll feel comfortable.
Yeah, of course it will, because they know how he wants to play the game. They know his approach to the game, so they'll feel comfortable, you know, in him. But that, you know, as I said earlier, that comfort will only go so far, and that loyalty if you're not successful.
Exactly.
You know.
Well, Eddie, when you were manager, some of the young players you had as well, they were sold, they went, they left, and again. The crop that came through when David O'Leary was manager here, they all ended up leaving the club for all kinds of reasons, but ultimately because the team couldn't match the levels that they were at. That's the worry again, is it not, with this group that have come through? We've seen players in recent years leave.
I was talking to some lads coming back from on the 21s game on yesterday, and they said that there's some good players at right back. They mentioned some more players at centre back, and the future's good, but the thing is with these players, they've played in the same team for a long time, so they get used to the games. They know how to play, so they're anticipating moves what they're probably played in back at under 18s. Yeah. So they're used to the game. So that's, you know, that's good. Mm. You know, and they're obviously, you know, the mates. That's important. You know, there's some good friendships and good bonding there.
One of the most important things for any young player, as well as the things I spoke about, is self-belief. That's self-belief. That's something that's very difficult to put into people, that. They've either got it or they're not.
But also, I mean, you've got to have that, Eddie, but also with youth, does that come a bit of naivety in a good way, in terms of, you're going to have belief in your ability, but at the same time, sometimes you haven't really had many years to get nervous about things too much, or, you know, you can kind of play with a youthful exuberance, shall we say.
Youthful exuberance, but, you know, if you want to be a top player and you're in the team 17 and 18, you're just like MDL says, got to play well if you want to play next week.
Nothing epitomised that more than when I'd seen Alan Smith first come up against Martin Keown and Tony Adams.
Oh, I remember that.
Because my word, he did. I mean, I looked at Tony Adams one point in that game and he went,
who's this kid?
Yeah.
And what does he think he's doing, stamping all over me and, you know, causing problems for me? Because I don't think they'd realised just sort of how good he'd be. The sort of four lads that have come through, Andrew, I don't know where you... I'm not going to get into a sort of debate about rating them compared to who and whatever else, but going forward, are they the basis, do you see, of something very promising, if they're all kept together?
I think it's imperative that you keep your nucleus of your young players together, because we saw happen with the Darren O'Leary squad before it was broken up. We kind of saw it in 92-3 when you had your likes of Jamie Forrester and all William Mountford, etc., etc. And that can be the base of a real successful squad. You've got players here that understand the football club, and you've got your likes of your Alex Mouts, your Lewis Cooks that have been at a very young age. And hopefully, if we can keep them together, I think it's imperative that we do, they can hopefully take us to the next level.
Yeah.
But keeping them together is, I suppose, is a bit of an issue because Byron, there's been speculation for a bit. Lewis Cook's burst on at the scene has been watched by some top clubs, Eddie.
Mowat as well.
Mowat as well. Yeah. But this is great education for them, I suppose. I mean, I know it doesn't always wash, but if they went to a Man City, a Manchester United, they're not going to walk as their first team, are they, either of them?
No, but I think there's so many issues in the game now for young players. Yeah. I mean, you know, agents are involved and, you know, different people in their ear. I think it's difficult for them, young players, to make decisions. But, you know, I've always said, you know, I'd be disappointed in any Leeds United player who didn't want to play in the Premier League. You know, because if you're a professional in any sport, or, you know, you want to play against the best. You want to be up challenging yourself. And, you know, like, eventually, you know, these young players, if they progress and they maintain the same standards as shown just now, they want to compete against the best. And in this country, the best is in the Premier League. So that's where they'll be the hope. So hopefully, it can happen with Leeds United. But if it doesn't happen with Leeds United, they'll be thinking to themselves, so it's got to happen somewhere along
Keith,
the line.
I suppose, Keith, Leeds cannot continue to be a breeding ground for Premier League clubs to come after a year or so of a player in the first team. They just come along and go, yeah, well, he's another one we'll have.
Well, I know they shouldn't, but while we are where we are, it will happen. Because if you can get 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 million pounds for a player and you are in our financial situation, you'll take it. And I know... I want Lewis Cook to play for Leeds forever. I want Mowat to play. I want Byron to play. I want Taylor to play. But I know what Eddie will say. I know the war. But
you don't know. If we're successful, we could play here for a long time.
Well, I'll tell you what has kept one of the hottest properties in the Championship at his club, and I don't know, it might be a financial thing, but I don't think it is, from reading interviews and things like that. But Will Hughes at Derby, Derby got to a playoff final, and by all intents and purposes should have been promoted last year. You know how they lost that final was ridiculous, and they're challenging again. That's got to help, hasn't it? I mean, I know they can get but if you're successful, if you look like you're going to be challenging, you're up there.
If you're up there and challenging, because there's a hope. You know, they're thinking, right, okay, we finished, you know, get beaten the playoffs, get a great chance next year, we started well next year, you know. You know, it may have been a completely different thing for Derby County if they had been the bottom half of the table this year with Will Hughes. But, you know, so it's like any young player. I mean, a lot of young players feel comfortable in their own environment, you know. But that doesn't mean to say, they should stay there, because, you know, if they're going to be great football players, they want to play against great players every week. That's basically it.
My mate's a Derby fan, and he sings Nigel Clough's praises, but he realises he came to a point when he had to go. But Clough brought all these young lads through, brought them through steadily. They played games together, and now the fruits now McLaren's got. But he's got the fruits because somebody gave him the chance and let him play the games, and slowly but surely they built up and they got to a standard now when they're talking about 10 million quid for him. But they were together. That's why those lads, it's so important. And probably why it's so important to them as well. You know, if they stay, if they're listening, stay together, lads. You know, you're together, you're stronger. I've always believed that. And these players could go places and take this club, which we all love, somewhere special. And I think this group could do it.
And they've got to be rewarded too, because Lewis Cook, there isn't a contract, you know, that he's agreed, you'd expect him after his personal, that's seen a long-term contract. And that, I don't know what the latest is on that situation, but I know the club had been talking with him and sort of his agent or whatever, but those kind of things have to be sort of sorted out, because you're more vulnerable, aren't you, if you don't have a player on a 3-4 year contract.
Yeah,
yeah,
I know. It sounds good, and you know, like, oh, you should sort a contract out. But the boy's got to want to sign that contract.
Oh, yeah.
The boy may be looking at the future thing. Oh, it's made any difference how much money you owe me. I can get that money anywhere.
Yeah, yeah.
I want to be successful. It's a success thing as a football player. No, it's not just money all the time. People talk, oh, that contract should have been done. But if a boy doesn't want to sign a contract, now, you want to see if the club's going to be successful. Now, back to Will Hughes, you know, get the players together and all that. Never really had a bad time at Derby. They've always been up there challenging, or look as if they're going to challenge in the last couple of seasons, and they're up there again. So that'll keep him happy. And the players will think, ah, we can move on together.
But that's the problem. The longer it's left, and I don't know what a hold-up is or whatever the problem is, but the longer it leaves, the power shifts more towards the player.
Oh, that's always the case. I mean,
has anybody asked?
Well, it does make any difference, you know. Contracts don't even make any difference now, Tom. If players... Any player wants to leave a football club, he can soon work his way out of the football club.
But you see, for me, it's just, I'm thinking of the club's point of view. What I'm thinking is, you've got to protect your investment, haven't you? I mean, Fabian Delph has just signed a massive long-term contract to Villa. If Villa get relegated, will he be there next year? I'd be stunned if he was. But Villa have done that in a way of, let's just protect probably our prized asset, him and Bentake. And therefore, when an offer comes in, we can say, "Well, you're going to have to pay top money because he's on a massive contract." Yeah. But there's probably no intention at all of him staying there.
Yeah, but you know, the only thing, you know, about Fabian Delph and what he may be thinking as well, you know, and this is from talking about his success. He said he'll think, "I've got my international cap playing for Aston Villa. Yeah. I became an international player at Aston Villa, so I owe them something a wee bit," you know. So that comes in as well. He's been successful in his career, and he's playing against the best players. You know, so he's got something that he can look. The club can say, "Well, you've done well for us, but we've done well by you as well.
Yeah.
You're an international player now."
Yeah,
you know, it's a success.
Yeah, he's kicked on muscle. Yeah, we'll talk about the Middlesbrough game in just a second. We'll get another song from our mystery here, but I just want to one downside which I forgot to mention earlier on. But set pieces, can we sort out set pieces, please, at least? Because it was so frustrating. I mean, I must have watched, and Millwall were the same on Saturday. I must have watched about eight or nine corner kicks. Seven of them didn't beat the first man. I watched the same thing on... I watched the Preston-Manchester United game, and again, I watched Manchester United had three corners early on, and Rooney hit all three of them against the near. But what, Eddie, what's going on with set pieces? It's not just Leeds. I don't see any teams looking that dangerous from them. No one's whipping balls in.
I think it's 70 games since the corner. It's a goal from
70 games.
Matt Smith away at Huddersfield at last October.
That deserves a ring.
It's just...
that definitely deserves the air horn.
Well... The last thing I'll say, there's no excuse.
Wednesday night live on Radio Yorkshire.
We're going to turn our attention to Leeds United's trip to Middlesbrough. We'll also pick our championship hat-tricks too, but predictions then for Saturday. Danny says it'll be a tough game, says he'll be happy with a point. George also says tight game, one each. Petra says 2-1 Leeds, or maybe 1-1. Sid says 2-1 to Leeds. And I think we've had another couple. Yeah, Russ says Borough 1, Leeds 2. Eddie, you said it earlier on that, you know, 4 wins from 5.
That was your expectation.
But before we delve into the game, maybe team selection, would you all take a point right now?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Definitely.
Up at Borough, I'd take a point. Yeah. But I think we've got an opportunity going up there, just circumstances, and especially the night, if, you know, they're down to 10 men, they're having to work very hard to stay in the game.
Who's their backup
keeper? Melichas.
Well, that's easy to pronounce, isn't it? that's really saved me. Well, Leeds, of course, seven points from the last nine away from home. Won 3 of the last 5 against Borough. Record at Borough, as I say, winning 3 out of 5. Borough have won 5 in a row at home, though. 3 clean sheets in that run. Just 2 defeats all season at home. And since Halloween, Borough have lost just 1 game up until maybe tonight. And Leeds have had a good record up there, haven't they?
Yep, since the ground opened in the summer of 95, we lost 1 in 12. So we've got a decent record up there.
Some good games as well up there, as well. Some high scoring matches as well, I seem to remember.
A lot of things in football can make differences to clubs. I mean, he's kept him in London all week.
They've been training at Chelsea before I got to Birmingham.
Oh, really?
So they've been away. Yeah. And sometimes it doesn't do you any good, you know, like, you know, players together all the time. Mm. You see too much of each other.
Yeah,
get away, get back home, get, and travel down for the game. But I think they've been, I think they stayed away.
Yeah.
I think they've been training at Chelsea. Chelsea's training ground, because he's got a connection there, isn't he? Obviously.
Course, yeah.
And
yeah.
then they've got to travel back up the road. And if they travel back up the road in the back of your defeat, they'll all be thinking, they'll all be saying to each other, we should never have stayed in there, you know, we should have come back home for a few days. you know,
normally we talk about team selection, but I guess it's pretty soon, no changes, yes. is there?
The only one I'd say were very
Billy
unlucky.
Sharp.
No. The only thing, a person I thought were very unlucky were Kasper Slot.
Yes.
Yeah.
I can understand what he's thinking about playing Austin, because he is a more direct player, but I thought Slot played well against Rennie.
Yeah, I think the only thing I would say, when you're playing against, you know, teams that have, you know, got a bit of physical power, and you know, I still think we need Rodolfo Austin in there, especially with the young boys running about them, you know.
Yeah, you'd expect Neil Redfern said to Austin, you are one of mine.
Yeah.
You're
one
of my first names.
Would you say
you've got players in the midfield area, you know, with Cook, with Mallet, with Byron, with Murphy, they can all get on the ball and pass it around. But you've not got him that can really get up and down that park. Like, well, Lewis Cook can do it. Mm. He's only a young kid, but Austin upsets people.
Yeah, he does.
Even though he gives the ball away a lot, and sometimes he does some rash things, like shooting at goal for 45 yards and all that. It puts people under pressure.
It does.
And the balance we have got on the side, you know, I think he's vital, I think.
Mm. Borough have been a mid-table side in the Championship for quite a few years now. They've not really threatened the top six.
I think what
Karanka digs, his first game was here last year. And then I noticed that the back end of the year, I think they kept 9 or 10 clean sheets.
Right. Yeah.
And I thought, I know what he's doing here. He's getting the defence sorted, ready for next year. They've signed some good players. Tomlin's, you know, a terrier up top behind a striker. KK Bamford, of course, is scoring a lot of goals on loan from Chelsea. But are you impressed with Borough's sort of turnaround and they've finally got things right? They've gone through a lot of managers, like Mowbray and Strachan. And
you look back to this time last year and everyone was tipping them and they kind of fell away. Mm. But I think a lot tipped them at the start of the season. I certainly did. And they've done a very, very good job, as seen where they are in the league table at the moment. And it'll be a real tough game on Saturday afternoon, but we've got the players here, they're causing problems.
The thing is, like, you look at when they came down here, we just scraped it, didn't we?
Oh, we did.
Yeah, we really did, because it would have got.
Well, they scored a very clear
goal,
didn't they?
And that first half, they were on front foot.
But anyway, to talk about earlier about sort of clubs owners and things like that, but you don't get many better than Steve Gibson.
No.
Yeah, I mean, he's backed every manager he's had to quite a lot of personal expense as well, hasn't he?
A lot of personal expense, yeah. No, he's a Borough fan. He's grew up as a Borough fan. He loves the football club. Mm. And he lets people go in with it, you know.
Yeah.
The thing about it is, he can afford to.
Yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
From a financial point of view, but he backs his football club. I mean, it's a great passion he has, a really great passion, you know.
Yeah, because you think of the sort of a club like Middlesbrough as well. Even I remember, you know, mid 90s, and they were signing Ravanelli, and Janino, and things. It was remarkable.
You look at the money one of the favourite players of his old time had when he was there as manager, Gordon Strachan.
Yeah.
Gave Gordon plenty of money, you know. They say big signings, you know. Big money, big wages.
There were right rivalry in the 70s. And they used to come, I think it was 74, 75 season, they came up here. And they actually closed great, because there were that many of them coming up. And those were cracking. They had some like eight of them.
Like Jack done well with them.
Do you still see it, Keith, as quite a, I don't say a real tasty derby or anything like that, but you see it as
it's quite a good game?
Good it's rivalry?
I think it's still rivalry, isn't it? Yeah.
You know, like, from a Leeds United point of view, I hope they get beat tonight. Because then there's a little bit more pressure on them getting into the game.
Yeah.
You know, if they win, they know they go 3 points clear in the league tonight. Or if they get a point, they go top of the league tonight.
Yeah.
So there's not as much pressure on them to stay there. When it comes to the crunch, you know, all these games are important for teams like ours, for teams at the bottom of the league and teams at the top.
And for Leeds United, you're facing one of the toughest away trips at probably the perfect time, are you not?
Yeah, with a bit of confidence behind us. And they've, as I said, they had a game on Sunday at the Emirates, they're playing tonight at Birmingham. And then it's a very quick turnaround
even a lunchtime kickoff.
Exactly, absolutely. And that hopefully can work in our favour on Saturday.
And there are a couple of things, if you watched against Arsenal, they didn't look really good at the defending corner, so we need to get a couple of good balls in.
That's too negative, isn't it? That's too negative, isn't it? To cancel it all out there. Okay, score predictions then for Saturday.
2-1 Leeds.
2-1 Leeds.
1-0, but if you're looking for an omen...
Go on.
But yeah, if we were to win at Middlesbrough, with our first double since 89-90, and back then Middlesbrough was our first home league win of the season.
There you go.
Ring the bell.
So there's a little omen for you.
There we go. Ready?
I'd take a draw.
Yeah.
You know, I'd go 1-0.
Okay, 1-1 then, Freddie. 1-1, 2-1, very popular scorelines, I think, with the bookies. Yeah. Okay, time to pick our Championship hat trick before we sign off for this week. We're going to pick three bankers in the Championship. Yeah, I said bankers. That are going to win at the weekend for you to put your money on. Eddie, you go first.
Blackburn, Derby, and Ipswich.
Okay, hold on. Blackburn are playing against Blackpool.
Confident call, is that, Mr.?
Who else have you gone for?
Derby.
Derby and home to Sheffield Wednesday, and Ipswich are at home to Reading. Yeah, we'll have to see in Reading and their result against Wigan. We'll be back in them, and of course, yeah, back the team that play Blackpool.
Yeah. I will Keith. Go. Blackburn Rovers.
Yes.
Derby County.
Okay.
And Wolverhampton Wanderers.
Yeah, Wolves doing very well. Maybe Rotherham, yeah, that game against Derby might have taken it out of Rotherham a little bit.
Fourth,
of a cracker.
Three apiece, 3-1 up,
Andrew, what about you?
I'm going to be a bit brave here.
Okay.
For Bournemouth at Brentford, because I think Brentford are a little bit in disarray and a bit of
turmoil. Bournemouth at Brentford.
I'm also going to go for Birmingham at Brighton.
Okay.
And I'll go Nottingham Forest in the Dougie Freeman Derby. Yes, Bolton.
Yeah, that's not a bad one.
The Dougie Freeman Derby. Okay, well, I'll go Leeds. Right. Because I've got to, because no one else has. I will also go for Blackburn as well. It's a bit of a tasty local game as well.
Yes.
And elsewhere, Huddersfield are so hot and cold, you know, and I don't think Cardiff are up to a huge amount. So I'm going to bat Watford.
That, do you know, if Cardiff lose that, Slade could be gone.
Well, they could be. Well, interesting now how it's shaping up in the Championship.
Big game that, Watford.
Yeah,
you know when you look at the league and Watford playing Norwich, because Norwich have won a bit of a revival, haven't they?
Eddie, I think the top
they've
8
they've come from nowhere, haven't they?
Yeah, they have. I think the top 8 Wolves, because there's a 5-point gap between themselves and Blackburn. I think it's between the top 8 for promotion, or certainly for the top 6 finish. I think there's too much of a big gap.
But when you're looking, a late runner.
But what? Yeah, there is. What about the relegation fight though?
Blackpool gone.
Wigan, even though that victory last night, are they gone?
Yeah. Well, Wigan have got Charlton on Friday night, and if they suddenly win that,
yeah,
and if results go their way, they could be 2 points away from safety. But
I still get the impression they'll go in a little run.
Yeah.
Who?
Wigan. I do. I think
they could win 2 or 3 games in a trot, and all of a sudden
it looks good.
And it's
have you seen their squad? Ain't bad, you know.
No, I know, it's quite a good squad.
That could make things very interesting, because suddenly you're looking at Leeds in 38, which means I didn't have to wait for the second page of teletext to load up to see the team, which I really enjoyed. We'll see what happens. Right, it's going to be fascinating. If the teams keep winning, you know, Birmingham winning tonight, so they're going to leapfrog Leeds if they hold on to that result.
Tom, you look at the league now. If Millwall beat Fulham, that's Fulham right in there.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, and they play them at home on Saturday.
Yeah.
I think it's anybody from the 13 down.
50 points do it?
I think less.
Don't say 13 down, because Birmingham look as if they're going to win tonight.
Yeah, that's right.
I'm hoping for a draw.
I think you're looking at 48, personally.
Yeah.
Because that's asking.
I don't think you need 50 points.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow. How many points do you think it'll take to get in the top 6?
Oh, let's save that for next week. Let's save that for next
week.
Let's
save that for 2 wins after.
When we've won another 4 out of the next 5, we can talk about that.
Happy day.
Time for me to reveal the mystery year. The year was, anyone get it?
1976.
Southampton winning the FA Cup. Sunderland promoted to the top flight. Kevin Keegan was voted player of the year, and we had music from the likes of Thin Lizzy, ELO, Boston too. And the Eagles. We'll finish off with some Queen. But thanks to Eddie Gray for joining us. Eddie, thanks very much. Keith?
You're welcome.
Good stuff. Smiles on people's faces. We love it here in the studio. Thanks to Andrew Dalton as well. Thanks to everyone else for tweeting and texting in tonight. We will be back next week, the day after my birthday, so you can send in presents to the studio, and day after the long trip back from Brighton too. So we'll be back next week, Wednesday Night Live. It's 7 o'clock here on Radio Yorkshire. I'm Tom Kerwin, and those were the best bits of this week's Wednesday Night Live on Radio Yorkshire. Don't forget to tune in every Wednesday between 7 and 9 for plenty of football discussion with special guests in the studio. We tackle the big topics of the week, review Leeds United's latest performance, and look ahead to their next game, while also finding out how much it would cost for Andy Cousins to enter the Celebrity Big Brother house and why Don Matteo would go nowhere near the jungle down under. All of the big topics covered Wednesday Night Live every week on Radio Yorkshire between 7 and 9.